Okay. Today is the yard site of my mother, Yehudas Bas Shlomo. So this shir is Le'ilu Nishbasa, 15th yard site. The Sefer Sukkah Shalom by Rabbi Eliyahu Guttmacher, he writes in the Hakdama that there are various things that a person can do Le'ilu Nishbas parent during Yehudas Chodesh and on a yard site, which is equivalent. So he has a hierarchy that the lowest rung in the hierarchy is to say Kaddish. Then higher than that is Dam for Nam. But he says not everyone can Dam for Nam, and not every tzibur wants to hear you Dam for Nam. So there are higher levels than that. Dedicating a mitzvah in memory of the Nifter is a higher level than that. And engaging in Talmud Torah, and specifically Talmud Torah Rabbim, is a higher level. At the highest level, he says, is engaging in Talmud Torah Rabbim Bein Mincha L'Maariv, to be Mechaber the day and the night of the Kedusha. But short of that, engaging in public Talmud Torah is the highest level of affecting an Ilu Neshama. So today's shiur should be in that spirit. We left off last time making our way into Siman Kuf Pei He, as we try to quickly finish the limud as much as we're able to. So let's just continue a little bit in Kuf Pei He and then into Kuf Pei Vav, and hopefully we'll get into Kuf Pei Tes today. So the Rama has a comment in the end of Siman Kuf Pei He as follows. That if a individual ends up being bo'el benida b'shogeg, he should fast 40 days. Doesn't have to be consecutive, could be b'hab. B'leil atanis aser b'yayin u'basar. And if he can't be poda, then if he can't be misana, then he can be poda b'moma, distaka. Fine. And the Rama has a parallel formulation of Hilchos Shabbos in Orachayim Siman Shin Lamadal Sif Kavav Shin Lamadal Kavav. That's in the context of Melech Shabbos B'chlal. The specific context is if a person put out a fire on Shabbos. So there he has the same idea that you can't be Mechal Shabbos to be Matzal Mamon, and if you did so, then you have to be Misana 40 days Shein V'Chamishi V'lo Yishayayin below Yochel Basar, and if you can't do that, then you would be Podeh the Tanis the Mama. So the Achronim point out, we're talking here about Bol Nida B'Shogi, that's as opposed to Ba'ones, that if a person follows all the proper halachos of Vestas, that's what the Chayyadim writes in his Hagdama to Hilchos Nida, that if a person follows all the halachos of Vestas and is parish when he's supposed to be parish and does bedikas when they're supposed to be bedikas, so then you're insuring yourself against the possibility of any chas v'shalom being boel and nida v'shogeg. So the post can say that if it's a onus situation where you did everything properly and it wasn't an onus of vest, then that's an onus, not a shogeg, and then this regimen of taniyos doesn't necessarily apply. If it were to apply, so generally speaking, our orientation is that no one can fast on that kind of regimen anymore, and we'd be poda b'mamon, as Rama already says. But this is potentially relevant, at least a nekuda here may be relevant to other areas of halacha as well. So the Torah Shlomim on the detail here that the Rama says that b'leil hatanis aser b'yayin u'basar, Torah Shlomim raises the question: what is the leil hatanis that we're talking about? Are we talking about the night before the tanis, or are we talking about the night after the tanis? If you're fasting b'hab, so are we talking about Sunday night, or are we talking about Monday night? So writes the Torah Shlomim in Sifkat and Yud. First, he says l'chorin nira. The Hainu Laila Shelefneya Matanis. Leil Atanis means the evening prior to the Tanis, because Yom Holech Achar Laila. But then he quotes the Marshal in Chulin, Parakasov Esbeno, Mashinagu Ksas Nashim Shein Ochlin Basar Shein Bechamishi Kishinoflin Bo, as Einam Ochlin Afalaila Shachar Yom Shilel Gemo. So he's referring to some practice of Tanis where they extended the Isser Basar B'Yayin, or extended the Tanis rather, to Masai the Tanis. The Lin era, Hatam Pasha. Daha isa sham v'chulin v'kachem halayla holef achar yom. V'im kein, zeshu b'makam tainis, v'mashikasim rishal sham, tainis b'makam korban. No, maybe it does make sense that the isa v'as v'yayin would extend to motzei tainis, because when it comes to kachem halayla holef achar yom, and by tainis also, maybe halayla holef achar hayom. And the Torah Sashlam says that better to be machmir in both directions, to be noeg iser basar yayin both the night before and the night after. Schechter points out, printed in Bikvei Etzon, Simen Tesvov, Osu Gimel, that this notion that a tannis should follow the kachim calendar of Laila Halachah Hayom, that's based on Brachos Daf Yizayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara has all the various tefillos that the Tanayim would say Gesofa Tefila, and the Gemara there has that Rosh Hashanah, when he was Yoshev B'Tanis, would say Ribono Olam in Galul Ifanach B'Zman Shabbos Amidish Kayim Adam Chodim Akiv Korban Emakiv Himena Olchel B'Vadam Miskaperlo. And now our Yeshiva B'Tanis should be instead of a Korban Yiratzon Sheichel B'Vadam Shenismite. That tefillah I printed in the standard sitter at the end of Shemoneh Esrei for someone who was mekabel a tanis. So that's why there's this potential connection between a tanis calendar and a kachim calendar. And this is potentially relevant, or the more lemais application of this could be relevant, is when a person is Roa Yerushalayim b'Chorbana, Roa Har Bayis b'Chorbana. So the din that person should be Korea Tirkriya when seeing the area of the Beis HaMikdash b'Chorbana. So the Mishabura quotes over there in Simen Tav Kuf Samach Aleph, Sif Kaf Tandalid, that when a person sees Yerushalayim b'Chorbana, or Beis HaMikdash b'Chorbana, then it should be knowing an Isser of Basar v'yayin for that day. So mistaber along these lines that they're also, you would say, Laila Hochlach Yom, and that Isser of Basar v'yayin would extend to the following evening slash night as well. Okay. Moving now to Simen Kuf Pei Vav, the din of Bedika Kodem Tashmish. So we already saw in the beginning of Kuf Pei Dalet, and that's echoed here in the beginning of Kuf Pei Vav, the Machlokas Rishonim, about requirements for bedikos for a woman that has a vest kavua. Whether there is such a requirement of bedikos achar tashmish for a woman who has a vest kavua, the Rambam, or the Stam Shulchan Aruch here, not that way. But what about a vest she'eino kavua, the much more common scenario of a woman that doesn't have a vest kavua? So this is a three-way machlokas rishonim emerging from the Gemara on Daf Yudeis Amud Beis in Maseches Nida. The very end of the first paragraph of the Masechta. So, without going into the details of the sugya, but Rashi understands the maskanas of Gemara, the last line, manda masniha, lo masniha, that the whole context in which the discussion of bedikos for a woman who doesn't have a vest kavua is only le'inyan taros, but not le'inyan bailos. According to Rashi, le maskanas of Gemara, there is never a requirement for a bedika kodem tashmish for a woman that has a vest she'eino kavua. A woman with a vest she'eino kavua, we don't say, well, we don't know when the expected vest is, so therefore we always have to be choshesh before tashmish, that maybe it'll come now and perform a bedika. So Rashi says, no, the only institution of bedikos for a woman that has a vest she'eino kavua is only le'inyan taros and not le'inyan bayit. That's the position of Rashi, that's the position of the Rashbam and the Ri, and Agos Maivini, Os Perek Dalet, Os Kaf, Perek Dalet, Os Kaf, Sefer Truma, Smag. So that whole group of Rishonim assume that there's no requirement of Bidikos Kodem Tashvish for a woman that has no vest kavua. And the Rosh is Choshesh for the Rebbeinu Chananel. Rebbeinu Chananel paskins like Reb Chanina ben Antiglius in the Sugya, that you always need bedikos, that if a woman doesn't have a ves kavua, just about every woman around, then there would always be a requirement of bedika kodem tashmish. Anytime she wants that tashmish, she has to perform a bedika kodem, or maybe even la'achar, tashmish. That's the position of Rebbeinu Chananel that the Rosh is choshish for. And the middle position is the Ran in Shavuos, the Rosh from Taras Abayis, who understand Bidas Arif, Rif Suvas Samach HaMedeis. Middle position, that if a woman doesn't have a Ves Kavua, then she needs to perform a series of three Bedikos at three different times, Kodem Tashmish, in order to be mafsiker, that she's not roa machmas tashmish. One second. So the So most Rishonim have the formulation of Kodem Ulachar Tashmish. We'll talk about that in a moment. So they understand with Das Arif, when we say Bedika Kodem Tashmish, it really means Bedika Kodem Ulachar Tashmish. So they understand with Das Arif that there's a requirement of Bedika Kodem Tashmish. And the Lashon is Hein Avasaha, Hein, or Hein Asua, Hein Teknua. That this serves both as a detriment and as a takana. Meaning, on the one hand, there's a concern that if a woman wasn't bodekas kodem tashmish, and then she sees dam, so potentially that could be roa machmas tashmish, which is going to ask the woman labayla, as we've discussed. The hein tiknua, it's also the tikkun, that if she does perform bodekas kodem tashmish, so then we can establish that the woman doesn't have to worry that she is roa machmas tashmish, and that there'd be no need for subsequent bedikas kodem tashmish in the future. So I think part of what Usher was maybe getting at is what the Ramban tries to explain in the Milchamos, that how does bedika kodem tashmish help to establish anything in terms of whether she's roa machmas tashmish? Right? If we're worried that maybe she's roa machmas tashmish, the bedika kodem tashmish isn't going to prove that she's not roa machmas tashmish. So the Ramban says, no, the chesed is that let's say a woman doesn't do bedika kodem tashmish, and then she's going to see dam lachar tashmish, so she would be told of that on tashmish and potentially aser her labayla. But if she does bedika kodem tashmish and finds dam, then it won't be good in the short term, but it'll be good in the long term, that she doesn't have to worry that she's roa machmas tashmish, because she will have established that the dam is already there kodem tashmish. But so the Mechaber presents what essentially is this version of the Rif, also the Rambam, this middle position, Sif Beis, in Eilav Es Kavua, Shalosh Pa'amim Arishonim Tzrichim Livdo Kodem Tashmish, V'Acher Tashmish, that if a woman doesn't have a Ves Kavua, then she needs to perform Bedikos the first three times she has Tashmish. Hu Be'et Shalom, V'hi Be'et Shalom. In Huxa Kabosa Gil Pamishena Rodam Achmas Tashmish, Shuv Eina Svicha Bidika Klau, Lo Lefne Tashmish, Velo Laachar Tashmish. Vela Ram of Arash, Kozman Shein Laves, Svicha Yvidika La Olam, Kodem Tashmish, Vela Achar Tashmish. Fine. But the Stam in Shulchan Aruch is like this middle position, that once you mask yourself three times that you're not Rodam Achmas Tashmish by doing Bidikos Kodim ul'akar tashmish, then you're home free from that point and on. And the Shachir is marich that the Iker is like Rashi, that there's no requirement for bedikas kodim tashmish at all, that the whole sugi here in Nida Daf Yubeis is only relevant in Nitaris and not Le Baila. And he tries to prove that that's really the position of the Rif as well. That is the shach. So the minhag ha'olam is to be machmir like the ikar din in Shulchan Aruch, not like the shach, to require a couple to establish through bedika three times from the get-go that she's not rohan machmas tashmish. And the minhag in our yeshiva is like the shach, that we don't require bedikas kodem tashmish even as an initial frame of reference. And to assume like Rashi, that there's no such requirement, that's why we're not really spending time on the sukkah.
That's all the place in our yeshiva, like a Willard Shech there.
Yeah.
That's a Kabbalah from anything?
From the Shach?
Shach. How come no one else follows the Shach?
Most of the later Akkodim say that you should follow the Mechaber. I don't know. Yeah.
Is this only Rav Nachman's Tashmish? Like, what about, would there be concern of a best chance of the wood that you might just see Dan, not just Eden?
Yeah, so that's part of the concern also, that why aren't you Choshesh at any given time? So if you assume, so those Rishonim that assume that there's always a requirement of doing a Bedika Kodem Tashmish, but Ves Shein Kavua, so they're more bothered by that angle, that at any given time you could have a Ri'ah because there's no predictability. The middle position seems to minimize that concern and accentuate the concern of Ro'ah Machmas Tashmish. So once you establish B'chazaka that you're not Ro'ah Machmas Tashmish, then you don't have to worry about the possibility that maybe she'll be Ro'ah at any given time if she doesn't have a Ves Kavua.
By a woman who has Ves Kavua, then nobody thinks that you have to like master yourself here on Palmin by Ro'ah Machmas Tashmish. I mean, if Tashmish causes potentially you to see down, we're saying it's less likely that that will happen if you have a Ves Kavua.
So within the Shitas Rambam that requires Bedika Lachar Tashmish even by Ves She'eino Kavua, so there it sounds like we are concerned about the possibility of Ro'ah Machmas Tashmish even by Ves Kavua. If you assume, like the Stam in Shulchan Aruch, by a Ves Kavua, that there's no requirement of Bedikos if it's Shelo Ba'onas Vesta, so then is it that the concern of lo yehi libo nokvo trumps the possible malyusa of avoiding any concern of Ro'ah Machmas Tashmish? Not sure. Yeah, Michael?
Is there any concern, I guess, like once the onabandonist comes, that there's more of a chance that, even if he doesn't have a Ves Kavua? Like
so when the onabandonist comes, there's a chiyuv bedika al tzi onabandonist.
And if the onabandonist passes,
and then you did your bedika, and she's so al ro'ah machmas tashmish, no, because that's to be matzik yourself and not ro'ah machmas tashmish. Once you do bedikas in conjunction with tashmish three times, then you're matzik yourself and not ro'ah machmas tashmish, and that has no connection to onus of est or post onus of est. If you're asking about general concern that there's going to be ria, so that's why we have a protocol of bedikos Be'onas Avest or right after Onas Avest, and if those bedikas are clean, then you follow the normal halachas of when she becomes muteris after bedika. Sometimes, as we discussed yesterday in one context, sometimes there's a chachamena barosho component that even if technically speaking, there's no specific ona that you're holding on, but you know that the riyah is imminent, even if there's no formal vest, so then that's a chachamena barosho consideration of being parish or just being prudent. Okay. The Mechaber then writes in Sif Gimel, I guess just to point out a lashon in terms of the Minhag of the Torah Shlomo is a lashon that even though he thinks that the minhag is to be machmir, like the Shulchan Aruch, to require bidikas to be massacred, a woman is not Roman machmas tashmish, he writes, but makam shenagu lahakel ein lahachmir, yeshlam gedoli poskim she yismichu aleim. So I think we're in a makam shenagu lahakel, and we have gedoli poskim also to be mikel with. Okay. The Mechaber then writes in Sif Gimel, Isha she'ena roa b'pachas mi'yadal yamim achar tfilasa, aval achar yadal yamim ein la keva ad yadal yom, dina kedin isha she'esh la vest. So this is the famous vest shlili of the Trumas HaDeshen that we've referenced multiple times before. Trumas HaDeshen in Siman Reish Mem Zayin is in this context of bedikos for roa machmas tashmish slash what do you do if a woman does not have a vest kavua? So there the Trumas HaDeshen assumes that if a woman has a predictable range in which she sees dam within a certain range of haflagos, so a woman will never see dam at less than a 14-day interval, so there's no requirement of bedikos even to establish a baseline of not being roa machmas tashmish if she has tashmish within the first 14 days since her last Riyah. So even though she doesn't have a formal Ves Kavua, because there's a range of Haflagos, or there's a range of days where she sees Dam, but if she's Mastic herself, that she never sees Dam at less than a 14-day interval, then any Tashmish within a 14-day interval of her last Riyah, 14 days is a poor example, but that's his example, if any tashmish within that 14 days since the last Re'iyah would not need to be regulated by Bedikos Kodem Tashmish. So that is the context, that's the only context, in which the Trumas HaDeshen explicitly has his vest shlili, negative vest, as far as requiring to Bedikos Kodem Tashmish for such a woman. So how is there application or relevance of this vest shlili more broadly? So Badi Shulchan makes a couple points here that are important. Badi Shulchan first in Sifkatan Kaf Dalid. So he points out that a vest shlili, in order to establish it, you need three instances, meaning that if a woman would need to see dam within the window of record at least three times in order to establish such a vest shlili. So if a woman sees dam at a 20-day interval, and then a 19-day interval, and then an 18-day interval, so she now, through three instances, has established a vest shlili that she's not going to see dam at less than an 18-day interval. Right, that may be a bad example because that may have established a vest kavua laflagos. So let's say 20, 19, and 17. So a woman sees dam at a 20-day interval, and then a 18-day interval, and then a 17-day interval. So because she now has a record of three intervals, none of which are less than 17 days, so she established a vest shlili that she's never going to see dam at less than a 17-day interval. However, let's say the next month, so that creates a pseudo vest shlili kavua in the thinking of the Trumas HaDeshen. So now she's established as a pseudo vest kavua that she's not going to see within less than 17 days. But let's say the next month, she now sees at a 16-day interval. So that's enough to now be oker this pseudo-vest shlili kavua, even though it's only been one instance at which she saw at a shorter interval than her established interval, but that's enough to be oker that vest shlili, and now going forward, she could only be makel within the 16-day interval. Jesse. Okay, Yaakov.
The 14 days, that's Lavdafka, the transition just quotes that number?
That's Lavdafka, that's his example. It happens to be, for us, a relatively poor example, because that's not normal to have such a short haflaga, especially if most women only go to mikvah on day 13. Okay. The Badi Yisholchan, so that seems to be a reasonable analysis. Then the Badi Yisholchan says something in the next Sivkatan, which is subject to greater machlokas. In Sivkatan Cafe, he says that Ves Shlili is only relevant in this limited application of Roa Machmas Tashmish, but it's not relevant in other situations. What would another situation be? Let's say you have a woman that always, her intervals are never less than 32 days. So she could see at a 32-day interval, a 33-day interval, a 34-day interval, but she never sees at less than a 32-day interval. So would an ona beinonit, does she have to observe an ona beinonis? Generally speaking, as we'll see a little bit later, an ona beinonis is observed absent a vest kavua. It's a kind of stand-in vest kavua, because the expectation is if you don't have a vest kavua, then it's likely you'll see at the ona beinonis at the 30-31-day interval, as we'll discuss. But let's say this woman has a vest shlili that she never sees less than 32 days. So does she still have to be choshish for an ona beinonis? Is that longness of the Tumas HaDeshen relevant here as well? Badi Shulchan is Machmir, we'll see Rav Moshe is Mekel. We'll talk about this in detail a little later when we get to Ona Beinonis, but just since we're here in Kufei Vav Gimel, just wanted to mention that now, and we'll talk about the specific application and details as we go on. Okay. The Chasam Sofer, Badi Shulchan quotes Chasam Sofer, who has a chumrah here in light of the Tumas HaDeshen, which the Badi Shulchan isn't convinced is true. He quotes the Chasam Sofer saying that if you accept the Tumas HaDeshen, that there's such a notion of a vest shlili, and therefore, if a woman doesn't need to perform bedikos kodem tashmish, if she has tashmish within a day that's not within the shortest interval that the woman experiences a re'iyah at, right? So if she never sees less than 20 days and she's having tashmish on day 17, so then there's no need for bedikos kodem tashmish. So the Chasam Sofer says the flip side of that is that if she did a bedika kodem tashmish, it wouldn't help her. I mean, if she wants to be masik herself, as not be roa machmas tashmish by doing three bedikas kodem tashmish. So she does bedika kodem tashmish on day 17, where she doesn't have to, but she does anyway. So the Chasam Sofer says, well, since that's not part of the cheshbon of the window in which we treat her as having a vest and a kavua, so then that bedika machmas tashmish doesn't help her to be masik her, not roa machmas tashmish. And the Badi Shulchan isn't convinced that that's the case. Maybe the two don't have to be related.
What would she gain by it?
She needs to be masik herself as not roa machmas tashmish three times. So let's say she doesn't want to wait till the next time she has tashmish within the window of her possible riyas. She wants to do it now. So could that be an effective bedika to be masik her as not roa machmas tashmish? Chasam Sofer says no. Bala Shulchan isn't convinced. Okay. One more application of Cheshbon Investos before we get to Simon Kuf Pei Tes and identifying Vestos. And that is a lach in the very end of Simon Kuf Tzadi that we glossed over when we learned Kuf Tzadi because we were, at least I was, planning on coming back to it now. The Mechaber writes in the very last if in Simon Kuf Tzadi, Kuf Tzadi Nun Dalet, Ein b'ksamin mishum vest. That a woman doesn't establish a vest based on a kesem. Ketzad, matzah kesem rosh chodesh, hafilu shalosh pa'anim, lo kavasa lo agrasa. If a woman sees a kesem on rosh chodesh, even if she sees a kesem on three consecutive rosh chodeshes, that doesn't create a vest kavua, v'lo agrasa, and it won't uproot a previous vest. So simply seeing a kesem doesn't create a vest. Chutz mikisme eda badukla, unless you see a kesem on a bedika, shehem tmeim b'kol shehem, v'rehem k'riyos achol davar. Unless you see a kesem on a bedika, kesem on a bedika has the status of a riyah, and therefore even a small kesem on a bedika will be considered a vest, or could create a vest. This is based on Ravid in Sharak Samim. The Ravid writes, Haroa kesem tamei she'ena yichola litlos tzvicha hefzik tara. So if a woman sees a kesem tamei where there's no tliya, you need a hefzik tara, you need shivin akiyim, you need a bedika, you have to go through the whole tara process. The near release has arrived. Alpha pisha hech marnu ala kesem yasinu al sokir iyalinian shivin akiyim chaldar. Even though we're makmer that a kesem, for all intents and purposes, is treated like a re'iya, we require the entire tara process to get this woman back to baseline. Alpha pikein lo nachmir alav lachush liyo mitzias hakesem kemo shi chosheshes liyom riyas. Even though it's true that if a woman sees a kesem, it'll make her to asur labayla, she has to go through the whole tara process, but it doesn't necessarily create a vest. Unless it's an Eda Baduk, unless it's a kesem on a bidika cloth, which has a din of ri'iyah, even the Inyan kviyas vest. So this is the Ravid in Shark Summon, this is the Ramban, Perik Dalid, Halacha, Yud, Ches. And the Badi Shulchan, in the very last of Katan in Simon Kuf Tzadi, Tuf Kuf Yud Gimel in the Be'urim there, he quotes that the minig is not like what the Mechaber says here, like this Ravid. The minig is not to establish a vest based on a kesem, even on an Eid Baduk, unless it happens three times, unless it's in the mode of a vest kavua. So even if a woman does see a kesem on an Eid Bedika, that in and of itself doesn't create a vest. Because the Levush Sfar is that the point of a vest is it establishes an expectation that a woman is going to have a re'iyah at this point. A re'iyah usually means da'ad b'shefa, means a flow. So if you just have a speck of dam on a bedika cloth, even though we treat that as a re'iyah, l'inyan, the tara process, but we shouldn't necessarily treat that as a re'iyah in order to establish a vest. The whole point of a vest is the likelihood based on previous performance that this is going to result in a regular re'iyah. So simply having a speck of dam on a bedika cloth doesn't create that likelihood, and even in that case, the Levush thinks, wouldn't create a vest. So that's what Rabbi Morgenzer quotes from Rabbi Yashiv in Paraglamid Beis, if Yud Gimel. Paraglamid Beis, if Yud Gimel. that if a woman sees dam out of a dika cloth, shelo ba'onas vesta, and not during an onas vest, and below her gasha, then even though this woman is considered tameya, she has to go through the regular tahara process that doesn't create a vest. He quotes that from the Beis Meir, that by a minimal quantity re'iya, even out of a dika cloth, it doesn't create a vest, because that doesn't create any chazaka that there's going to be dam, that there's going to be dam bahar gasha. And he quotes that the Chazon Sofer was not the way. Chazon Sofer, Yerodei, Asimut Kuf Samach Vav, assumed, what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that a kasem, on a bidika cloth, even pachos mi kachardal, even shiloba on a savest, even shiloba argasha, will create a vest. However, if Rabbi Borgeser continues b'shem Rav Yashiv, if the re'iyah on the aid bidika is ba'onus avest, at the time that we already expect a re'iyah because it's her onus avest, so then even a minimal quantity of blood will be considered or could be considered re'iyah le'inyin kvias vestos, even if the real flow hasn't yet begun. So he quotes from Rav Yashiv, in that situation where you have a kesem on a v'dika cloth ba'onus avest, then at least l'chumra, that will create a, or could create a vest. Not necessarily l'kula. L'kula would mean that if you view this as a, let's say in a scenario where you view this as a vest in a way that you then wouldn't calculate an onabeinonis. Maybe wouldn't say l'kula. We'll come back to that shortly. But fundamentally, he quotes from Rabbi Yashiv that if you have a re'iyah kol shehu or kasem kol shehu on an eid bedika shelo ba'onis avest, that's not going to create a vest. If it's ba'onis avest, then that would create a vest. Yeah.
According to the Shulchan Aruch, can you create a vest to change the rule also? Like if you just one time see dam on a
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about. We're not. Even the Levush agrees that you would create a vest kavua if you have a minimal re'iya on an eid bedika. We're talking about the afka vest chain of kavua.
Well, Levush agrees if you see three times, then you would create a vest kavua.
Yes.
I just missed it. When Badu Shulchan says Minig is now like a Shulchan Aruch, that's going on. Some of them are.
No, it's going on an eid bedika. Meaning, Shulchan Aruch says a regular kesem doesn't create a vest, but a kesem on a bedika cloth does. And the Baal Shulchan says, based on Levush, and we just quoted Beis Meir, that the minig is no. Even a kesem on a bedika cloth won't create a vest. Though we quoted from Rav Yashiv that if it's on a vest, so then maybe it would. Yeah.
But where in Shulchan Aruch do we see that it's even true by a Beis Meir and Kavua? Maybe he agrees with Levush.
Ein b'ksamim mishum vest. Okay, it's on Masa Kastim Rosh Chodesh. If you're the Shalash Ravlo Kavasa Ravlo Kraso, Chus b'kisveid abadur glas shem and tamim b'kol shein v'rein kuriyas so l'chol davar.
So you know, that's not just going on the Yafilu Shulchan.
Yeah, that's not, right. And that's that's Lashon HaRai. There's no indication that that's only Vest Kavua. Okay. There is a line in Rashi Nun Gimel Amud Beis towards the top, 10 lines down. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara has Rasa Kesem Yafrikach Rasa Dam Tola Kisma Viryasa Meis Leis Divrei Rabbi. sense. So if a woman sees a kesem, and then she sees dam, she could be told of the kesem on the re'iyah. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Rasa kesem afgach rasa dam tof me'esleis. That first she sees a kesem, and that kesem is followed by a regular re'iyah within 24 hours. Tola kisma b'riyasa. V'yarminan, hai kesem nidam nidis zehu. Utahora militame ad shas akibus. Ella mishamasasa ulaba. So we say that this kesem is really midam nidus. Okay, so the context here is a Taros context. The question is whether this has relevance to the Bila and establishing Vestos. If at face value, Rashi sounds like he's saying is that if you have a Kesem followed by a Re'iyah, we can attribute that Kesem to be the forerunner of the Re'iyah. So that potentially could be relevant in our Nidon as well. So Rav Osman discusses this, Shevet Alevi, Chela Gimel, Simen Kuf Yudches, Chela Gimel, Simen Kuf Yudches, and Rav Osman thinks that's not correct la'alacha, that you don't necessarily assume, just because if you have a kesem that's followed by a re'iyah, even Tuch Meis La'eis, that kesem doesn't necessarily reflect the beginning of the Re'iyas Dam, and wouldn't be considered a Yom HaVest. Rav Avadya assumes away page Taf Ayin. Rabbi Forrest presents that as the Psak HaMekubal, and Badi Shulchan as well, in Kuf Tzadi Sif Katan Taf Kuf Dalin. But the Badi Shulchan writes, Taf Kuf Dalin, Nira Shafilu Ishaham Motzeis Kesem V'achakach Kavur Yomo Yomayim Ba Orech Nidusa V'Shofas Dam Kirgilusa. So a woman sees a Kesem, and then a day or two later she has a regular Re'iyah. Eina Mechasheves Yom Mitzias HaKesem L'Cheshvin Vesta. So we don't say that the Yom of Vesta record is the day of the Re'iyas HaKesem. We say the Yom HaVesta record is the day of her full-fledged Re'iyah. And Rav Moshe says something different. Chela Gimel Simen Nun Aleph. Chela Gimel Simen Nun Aleph. Osam Nashim Shadarka and Liras Ksamim below Hargasha Kama Yamim Kodim Vesta. So a woman who will see a kesem as a precursor to her Re'iyah. Ikara Vest Viyom Shaba Shefa Dam Hargasha. The Ikara Vest is when she starts seeing the flow. Vim Rasa Ken Gimel Pa'amim Oam Darak Ziva Sadam Lava Gamke Melo Hargasha. Ikar Vest too, Misha Tirak Samin. But if this woman establishes this pattern, that first she has a kesem, and that's followed by a re'iyah a couple days later, if she establishes that three times, or if she never has a hargasha anyway, so then the Ikar Vest is from the first Re'iyas HaKesem. The Iglai Milsa, the Chedu Psichas HaMakor Shela, Tipin Tipin Tchila, V'Acher Kach Ba'Shefzer. Moshe says that if a woman establishes that this is her normal pattern, that first she has some Ksamim, and that's followed within a couple of days by a regular full-fledged Re'iyah, or even if that happens occasionally, but she never has her Gosha anyway, so then there's more of a reason to assume that the Iker Vest is the beginning of the Ries HaKesem. But he says, but if there is a significant break in time, here at the beginning of the tshuva, he said, kama yamim. But if there's a break before the Re'iya, or she does Bedik before the Re'iya, then the vest is only Mizman Shabadam Bahargasha. It maybe means there it's where you do have a Hargasha. So Ramosha does entertain over here and figure out the exact parameters, but if you have a woman who the normal biology is that she sees Ksamim followed by regular Iya, and none of that is Bargosha anyway, so Ramosha considers that the Kfiyas Avesa record would be from the time of the Kesem, and not from the time of the Re'iya. One second. Rabbi Morgan quotes from Yashiv something similar in Svar in terms of the role of Hargasha. He says, this is at page 50. He said, Bishlam of Bisman Chazal, where women had a bona fide Hargasha. So then there'd be no grounds to assume that a kesem below Argasha should be kovei a vest. But nowadays, that we're not sensitive to the Hargashas of Chazal, and we're considering whether to consider Rias Kesem as part of Cheshbon of Vestos. So if it's a woman that never has Argasha anyway, then maybe we should give more credence to the Rias HaKesem as the beginning of the real Re'iya, to the Kovei Aves Miyom Rias HaKesem. So again, Rav Osner seems to think that even in this scenario where a woman has ksamim that precede her Re'iya, that the Iker Vest is nikva based on the Re'iya, period. And there's no diuk in Lahalach and the Rashi on Daf Nun Gimel. Rav Moshe entertains that if there's a clear connection between the ksamim and the subsequent Re'iya, and at least neither of them are Baba or Gasha, then you would calculate the Iker Vest from the Ksamim, and that's what Rabbi Morgenstern quotes from Rabbi Yashiv. And then he quotes from Rabbi Nissen Karelitz that there maybe should be Choshesh L'chumra in both directions, to consider both of those points, both the Re'iyas HaKesem and the subsequent Re'iya, as Yimei HaVest. I believe Rabbi Willick thought, like Rav Nissen Karelis' approach here, that we would only consider the Riyas HaKasa L'chumra, but not L'kula. Yeah, sorry, go to questions. Yaakov.
Two questions. First question, Rashi mentions this within 24 hours, between the Kesem and the Riyah.
Right.
And we're going, like, Rav Moshe going beyond that, saying that even if it's more time between the Kesem and the Riyah, we're still, the Kesem can still establish the best.
Yeah, Rav Moshe's not working off that Rashi. That was just kind of a model for the idea. But yeah.
So did we come up with the time that, like, do we know what Rav Moshe was at the time?
He says, one place Kama Yamim, and one place Yama Yamayim. I don't know if there's a firm timeline.
Okay,
where they're reasonably connected, meaning where it's reasonable to assume that the Kesem was a forerunner of the Riyah.
Okay. And then, one other question. What does it mean exactly that if she didn't have a Hargasha, what exactly does that mean?
No, what Rav Yosher was saying, and part of Rav Moshe was saying, is that if a woman had her bona fide Hargasha, and this Kesem is below Hargasha, so then you're not going to say that the Kesem is considered Tchilas Riyah, because she knows her Riyah is above Hargasha, there's no Hargasha. But for our women, if they never have Hargashas, so then Hargasha is not an indicator in practice as to whether this is the Riyah or not. So then you might be more inclined to view the Riyah Sakesem as the Iker Vest.
Discussion
only by Ksamim, Tamim, or by Tzantur, meaning Achasmikikris, or Tzvonim, or... No, I think if you have a Kesem, you're saying that a woman has a Kesem as a forerunner for her Re'iyah, but it happens to be on Tzvonim, so technically speaking, you had Kulas Ksamim. So that goes back to our earlier discussion from the beginning of Ksamim, that if there is a significant amount of Dam, then, or in a situation where we said many poskim would say that you have to be poresh if you see a reasonable amount of dam, even if it's on Sivonim, that technically speaking it should have been Masa B'Ksamim, so I think in a situation where you say that, then that potentially could be considered the Tefillah Riyah as well. Okay.
So
Psak L'Maisa. I think Rabbi Willig would say that if you have a kesem that is in advance of a Re'iyah, and there's a reasonable connection between the two, that you have to be choshesh l'chumra for the day of the Re'iyah sakesem as onus avest.
So you have two vestos.
You potentially could have two vestos. I'll read you what he quotes here from the Chodesh Shani. Hamotzi ksamim o tipe damim, sheesh l'stapik v'hem sheim tchila siriya, v'achar kach rasa dam vesta ragil. So this situation, a woman as a precursor has ksamim, and then sometime later has a regular riya. So he quotes from this in Karelis as follows. Im aver yom v'layla shayanaki bibir midam. So if a full 24 hours pass between the ksamim and the re'iyah, bein mitzias adam l'tchilas re'iyah, choshashes v'shneim l'chumra. Shreyesh l'stavek id tchilas avest hayim v'zman mitzias ha-kesem, o v'zman shiras adam vesta, l'chein choshashes v'shneim l'chumra. But if it's less than 24 hours or less than yom v'layla, then you have to be choshesh only lizman mitzia sakasa. So I'm pretty sure Rabbi Willig endorsed that approach, but again, because of Rav Yashiv, that no, you can go with the kasem even the kula.
I heard Bishim really talk about this, go with the flow.
Okay. Yeah.
I think the problem to that's before. The tzav the argasha, if she doesn't have argasha, then she doesn't need a pattern at all according to Moshe from the first time. Ready? She should start the count from the should start the best from the Yosef Kasem.
Again?
If she doesn't have argasha by the Riya.
Right.
According to Moshe, she doesn't even need to establish a pattern there, or just from that first time she should already count it from the Yosef Kasem.
So in the beginning of the tshuva, it sounds like either or. That either if it happens like that three times, or if she never has hargasha, even if it happens less than that. And then the hemshach tshuva, he focuses more on the lack of hargasha. I'm not sure if you had a woman who did have a hargasha, and then if you're asking if a woman did not have hargasha, but it only happened once? Or?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the first time, right? That she, yeah.
Yes, I'm not sure. For this tshuva, I'm not sure what the upshot would be for the Rosh, because slightly different formulation at the beginning than the middle. Not sure. Okay. Let's try to begin the Fetas. Kol Isha She'ein Leves Kavua. So if a woman doesn't have a vest kavua, she has to be choshesh as for 30 days since her last re'iyah as an ona beinonis. And yesh la vest kavua is man yadua mikaf lekaf or mikaf lekafe, choshesh as is man yadua. So an ona beinonis is a fallback, a stand-in for a vest kavua for a woman that doesn't have a vest kavua. Where does this come from? So the Gemara on Tesvav Amud Aleph that we saw briefly yesterday, the Mishnah told us, "Kol Anashim Becheskes Tara LeBalei and Avam Benader from the Shein Lehem Becheskes Tara." Or I asked, "Lamely the Misni Avam Benaderach Sakadai the Chamina Animi Lehecha the Isa B'Masa Derami and Avshei Yabaka." So you might have thought you only have the right to presume that your wife is Tahora if you're in town, and then you can assume that she performed Bedikos as necessary. But you might have thought that if you're not in town, she's not expecting you home, so she wouldn't be on top of the bedikos, so maybe after bichoshes she became tameya. Kamash malan. No, even that situation, you can rely on her cheskas tara. On Reish Lakish, Mishra Yehuda, Nesia, Fu Shabo, Masa Basokhi Meo Nasa. That's talking about where, when you came back, she was Besoch Yemei Onasa. Says Rashi. Actually, let's just continue the Gemara a few lines. Arim Vudo Loshna Elish Ein Levest. Ala Yesh Levest. Aser Lishamish. When do we say that if you find her Toch Yemei Onasa, you don't need a Bedika? That's only if she has a vest. That's only if she doesn't have a vest. She has a vest, Asr L'shamish. Clapping Laya, Adra Ibchim Stabra, Ein La Vest, Ein L'chaza, Yish La Vest, Vest Kavila, Eli Yemar Hachi Yemar, Amin Hu Loshna, Ela Shalom Yigi Yishas Vesta, Yishas Vesta, Asura. Okay. Says Rashi, what does it mean, Besoch Yimei Onasa? We have the right to rely on her Cheskas Tara. Lamed Yom L'Riya. Besoch Yimei Onasa means 30 days from the day of her re'iyah. Aval yachir la'amid by bedika. But if you return after 30 days from the last re'iyah, then you require bedika. Hoel ustam nashim chaz yan lesof ona. since Dam Nashim Sidam at the end of her Ona, which we're defining here as Lamed Yom, so at once you pass the completion of that Lamed Yom period, she would require a Bedika because the Cheskas Tara is compromised since Dam Nashim Chazyan Lesof Ona. And that's what the Gemara has in Tes Amud Beis as well, that Ona Beinonis is Shloshim Yom. And that's the marker of an Ona Beinonis, a median vest, as Rabbi Forrest terms it, where the expectation is that that's when we would expect a woman who doesn't have any other indicator of when she's going to see Dam to see Dam. And the Ramban here on Tesvav points out Yerushalmi, Shami Perek Beis Lachadalid, Lashi Yerushalmi is Kama Ona Nosnin La, Shalaka Shamri Nosnin La Ona Beinonis, Shloshim Yom. Okay. Now Rashi here, when he talks about this Yimei Onasa, Islamid Yom, what we call Ona Beinonis, Rashi presents this in the context of Bedika. That come day 30, there's a requirement of Bedika, and the woman is going to be Asura Labayla without a Bedika once day 30 is complete. But there's no reference in Rashi to any Chiyuv Prisha Biyom Lamed on the day of the Ona Beinonis. Right? Rashi just tells us that after day 30 she would require Bedika, but there's no reference per se to any requirement of Prisha Biyom Havest on day 30 itself. That's what the Alter Rebbe points out in his Kuntres Achron, the beginning of Simen Reish Pei Tes. Rabbi Carr points out that this is Mefurish in Tosfos Chachmei Anglia. Lashon of Tosfos Chachmei Anglia, Perush Rashi, Aval Matzah L'Acher Yimei Onasa Tzricha Bedika, that if the husband comes back to town and finds his wife after Yimei Onasa, then she requires a Bedika. V'chumra gedola hizu, sharei le'el lo hitzvecha talmud rak tevia. He says that requirement of Bedika is a chumra gedola, because all we know otherwise is that you have to establish that the woman is Torah, but from the Gemara you get the impression, as we discussed yesterday, that if the woman represents that she's Tahora, she has Ne'amanus. She has a Cheskas Tahora, she tells you that she's Tahora, she has Ne'amanus. And Mecha Tesi, that there's a requirement of Bedika. Nevertheless, you have to be Machmir like Rashi to require a Bedika. So what emerges according to Rashi and the amplification of Tosfos Chachmei Anglia is that if a woman, when it comes to an Ona Beinonis, there's no requirement of Prisha Biyom HaVes per se. The only requirement is that in order to be Matir Labayla subsequent to the Ona Beinonis, she would require a Bedika. Rif, Rambam, Ravid have no mention of a din of Ona Beinonis at all. And the Rashba, Torah Sabai Sa'arach Tesvav Amin Aleph, the Rashba is the first that has an explicit requirement of Prisha, the Ona Saveth, for an Ona Beinonis. So Rashi just has Bedika, Rambam Rif have nothing, and the Rashba has a requirement of Prisha. And that's what's reflected when we just read in Shulchan Aruch, Choshashes Liyom Lamed. Choshashes means Le'inyin Prisha as well. Okay. So So there is a significant machlokas achronim. How does one calculate an ona beinonis? Lashon Ramban, Perek Hei Halacha Hei, Kama hi ona, Shloshim yo mitchilas ri'iya litchilas ri'iya cheres. So ona beinonis is 30 days from the initial ri'iya. Sherov nashim kain hain roos bishloshim lishloshim. So that means yom lamid l'riyasa. That means that if a woman sees dam on the first day of the month, then the ona beinonis will be the 30th day of the month if there is a 30-day month. 30 days miyom ri'iya means counting all-inclusive of the yom ri'iya and the yom ha'ona. So that's what the Ramban says. Shloshim l'shloshim. Shloshim yom etchilas ri'iya l'tchilas ri'iya cheres. So the day of the first ri'iya is day one. And then the day of the ona beinonis is day 30. That's what the Rashba assumes as well. Tesvav amud aleph in the Torah Sabayis. That's how the Beis Yosef assumes. And that's what the Taz assumes in Sifkatan Yud Dalet. Just take a look briefly at the Taz. That's in the context of a Vest HaChodesh, but there the Rashba Agav writes, Yom Shlosh L'Riyasa V'hi Ona Beinonis L'Mish Ein L'Vest Kavua. The day 30 of the Riya is the Ona Beinonis. That's the Rashba, that's the Ramban. That's the Beis Yosef's assumption, l'alacha, and that's what the Taz writes in Sifkatan Yud Dal. The Mashmos of the Rashi that we read is that the Ona Beinonis of record is day 31. The Rashi's lashon was Besoch Yibei Onasa. Lami yom l'ri'iya, avala achar lami by bedika. You require bedika after 30 days. Meaning the time at which there's any consequence to ona beinonis is immediately after day 30, which would be day 31. Right, Rashi's lashon was that stam nashim chazi l'sofa ona. Stam nashim will see at the end of the ona. So the ona of record, or the ona when there would be a chi bedika, would be after day 30, which would be day 31.
What if that's, if the ona ends, let's say, the middle of the day?
What do you mean?
Like if it's a 6, let's say it's a 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. ona.
So we don't usually assume like the VSF. We assume that a daytime ona is a daytime ona, a nighttime ona is a nighttime ona. To the extent that anyone's closer with the VSF, that's only l'chumra, but we don't generally assume like the VSF. That happens to be the position of the Chavis Das, Sifkat and Yubeis, that an ona beinonis is always going to be on day 31. So if an ona beinonis is always going to be on day 31, what that means is that in a chodesh chaser, let's say the first ri'iya is on Aleph Adar. Aleph Adar, so Adar is chaser. So the last day of the month is going to be day 29. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is going to be the last day of the month is going to be day 29. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is going to be day 30. And Beis Nisan is going to be day 31. So in that situation, the Vest HaChodesh would be Aleph Nisan. And the Ona Beinonis, according to the Chavis Das, would be Beis Nisan, because it's always day 31. In a Chodesh Maleh, if the first Riya was Aleph Nisan, and then you're calculating day 31, so day 31 will be Aleph Iyar, which would coincide with the Vesta Chodesh if it's a Chodesh Malik. So That's the position of the Chavos Das, which may have resonance in Rashi, that a Ona Beinonis is always day 31. So according to the Rashba, the Ramban, Taz is always day 30. According to the Chavos Das, it's always day 31. And the Shach, in Sukkot and Lamed, assumes that an Ona Beinonis is synonymous with a Ves HaChodesh. So if it's a Chodesh Mole, the Ona Beinonis is always going to be day 31. And if it's a Chodesh Chaser, the Ona Beinonis will always be day 30. If it's a Chodesh Chaser, the Vesta Chodesh is 30 days from the last Re'iyah, and that's the Ona Beinonis. And if it's a Chodesh Mole, it's 31 days since the last Re'iyah, and that's the Ona Beinonis. And the Shach points out that there are other contexts in which Shloshim Yom doesn't mean dafka shloshim yom, it means a chodesh. And he says, according to the Shach says, now we understand why the Rambam and the Rif make no mention of an Ona Beinonis, because there is no independent din of Ona Beinonis. Ona Beinonis is really just a vest hachodesh, so it's all included in the din of vest hachodesh. Yeah.
Where's that Shach?
The Shach is Sifkatan Yud, Sifkatan Lamed. Okay. So let's stop here, and then Mirz Hashem Sunday will pick up with the Lamais applications of Ona Beinonis, and then try to continue through Kuf Beitas. What it looks like for next